And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men in every nation under heaven. And as this sound and the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language, Acts 2:1-2:6. Good morning. Easter, what an amazing event, right? He is risen indeed, hallelujah. We're refounded. This person that was sent to us as this gift of deliverance, what shall we do now? Well, this person that we wanted to kill, we didn't want him to be here. He is this one, remember? He's the reason that we are forgiven, we are redeemed through him, salvation, through his blood. Now he's our friend. What shall we do? Should we accept him? Shall we receive him? A sense of testament in baptismal. Continue to walk within this light. I was sent here for you. This is the path that we've led. This is the path that we're leading. Do you think that it's modern day? Right? You reference the Bible, the biblical assertion and notions. Every day when I hear about a scripture, a lecture, you can reference it to today's world. So I reference this scene, this enactment, this chapter in scripture within my life, and it's effective today. It becomes practical. So he's not hanging himself in the cross. He's not dying, right? He doesn't need to be bothered in any way, shape, or form. But it's mortality. He is alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. So every day we are forgiven. We are blessed. We are sanctified. We don't have anything to worry about, regardless of the setbacks and the failures, the twists and the turns. We reference knowledge, intellect, as being one of the powerful gains of the world. I'm truly blessed. Where did that blessing come from? It came from God, right? Didn't it? I don't have it on my own, but if he's blessed me with this gift of knowledge, with power, with wisdom, it's coming from God. It's a sense of deliverance. I am forgiven because of Christ. We don't use that against one another as a sense of catalyst. You've heard me touch base on this before. So do you choose to believe in the baggage and bondage of this world? I said, well, what do you mean you can't avoid it? The sin, the wickedness, the death? But I'm like, no, can't you? Christ. Jesus Christ himself. Think about what I'm saying. I'm like, no, Christ. Not God. I think God is relevant. He is the creator, the giver, and taker of life. Yes, of course. He's the reason why breath enters my lungs. But what about Christ? Yeah, what about Christ? Are you forgiven? Are you redeemed? How many of us use that double-edged sword? And because it's put, and we're each and every one of us is equipped with it. We have it in our hands. We're ready to use it as a battalion. We're equipped with knowledge, with insight. We remember verbatim biblical scriptures, and we know how it applies to us. I think scripture is relevant when it applies to us, right? I don't think that we are the condemnation, the eye of the beholder of the eye. So we're casting judgment down upon others. They don't have Christ. They're not forgiven. They're not redeemed. And we're the ones that are capable of defining them. Because I interpreted this scripture this way, it is now condemning you. You know, that's not right. But how could it be? Isn't it right for you? You're the one that's trying to make it to heaven. But if anything, you can't hold anybody else from heaven, or you can't take them to heaven. That can't be true, right? I'm leading you astray, a false prophecy. I would like you to idolize. Why don't you hold this sin, this inequity, this death near and dear to your heart? This is the only thing that you have. I don't want you to believe in the forgiveness of Christ. So I get it. You don't believe in Christ. You don't want me to be forgiven. In fact, you are forgiven, but I'm not. And it is up to you, your moral dilemma. This is a moral crucifixion, right? I'm crucifying myself. Wait, it's just the exact opposite. Christ doesn't exist. I'm crucifying you for the judgment, for the thoughts, for the decisions that you've made. He doesn't want you living that way. I just wanted to have a confession for you. I believe in the confession, the morality. I'm down on my knees here. Help me opening up the little back box. I'm sitting in the shadows as I walk in the valley of darkness in my darkest hour of death, holding the rosary in my hand. God, help me. Come into my heart, soul, mind. Save me. Deliver me. So I confess. I repent. I forgive. But am I confessing and forgiving and repenting to creature? This has no worth, right? They're not the giver and taker of life. They're not the ones that were capable of providing me forgiveness. By the way, even now that you've received forgiveness, you are forgiven. You've received it. Is this true? Is this true? I think along these lines, because of Easter, through his blood incarnation, right? The remission of our sins have been washed away. The chains of sin and wickedness and death have been lifted off of you. There are no excuses. So now that you've received forgiveness, does it allow you to condemn? I don't think so. By the way, who are you? I'm Jesus of Nazareth. I'm here to help you. It's not about me anymore. I'm here to help you so that I can continue my Father's work. You said, of who? Of Nazareth. Very good. Very good. So it doesn't allow you to condemn. Now that you, your humble servant, your creature yourself, were the ones that are trying to be helped here. It's our problems. As individuals, humble servants, we're carrying the flame. We're blowing the candle. I'm not sure which one, right? I think different. So now, are we capable of forgiving others? You shall not need to forgive anybody else. How could you and why would you? If you need to forgive somebody else, you might lack acceptance. I think as I've asserted myself biblically throughout the Bible, I think that consent is very valuable. You can say yes, you can say no. I've got a public service announcement for today, and it continues for every day after until the heart stops. So I'm actually not available, effective immediately, for anybody to make any decisions on me in any way, shape, or form, especially when it comes to the longevity of the breath that I'm breathing or the eternity that I'm possessing. I mean, I've got some treasures and I'm trying to store them up. I hope you ain't mad at me. I think along those lines. So with that being said, I'm just not available for you to dampen my life. Is that reality, though? Or is it the forgiveness that we possess turns into the bitterness of being bitten? You took a bite of the forbidden fruit. The tree of knowledge has deceived you. You're deceptively distraught. And now I need to tell you what's right or wrong for you. There's something wrong with having a point to prove in this world. I see him. I see the incarnation. I think of glorification, the substance. I think of us, the afterlife, the process. I don't want to be the one that's left behind. You know, I'm like, where are you at? I believe in human interaction. I don't want to live in this possessively distraught world. Let's see how desperate everybody can get. Why aren't we just like together? I don't get it. You think like that with God and with Christ, with your Savior and with your Redeemer. You know the Holy Spirit is your enactment. Like, we're together. Like, literally, yeah, we're going to stay together for eternity. Even after I die, I'm still going to be with them. Amazing. Is there somebody else that can be a benefactor or a beneficiary, or they can hold you back? They can be the judge, the trial, the juror. They can be the vindicator. They can be the one that stops the madness. But this is not madness. I'm being saved. I'm being redeemed. I'm born again. I've been turned over a new leaf through baptism. It's a holy baptism. Haven't you heard of this? Jesus of Nazareth, I said. It works. But it's only about what we see in others. So our belief is the perception, is the deception. Well, you can recite biblical verses to me until you're outright blue in the face. You can outright tell me what's right and what's wrong and what God's interpretation is. But if it doesn't have any acts, works, if there is no belief, and let's not get started on belief, you live the way that you live because you believe in it and it works for you. Even if it's something that's wrote down on paper. So you could take it to the extreme. Excuse me. You could take it to the extreme. And the extreme in this exact mindset. Well, you know, they've got some commandments and 632 laws in the Old Testament, and I got them written down on paper here, and I find them to be very, very relevant. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life walking around condemning you, judging you, hating on you, because the person that's given you this life, I just don't feel that you're worthy. You're like, oh my Lord, have you ever heard of Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth? He's forgiven you. You're redeemed because of him. Remember, consent, blameless. There's no excuses. Oh my Lord. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Think about what I'm saying. So who are you? Where's you going? Think about it. Where'd you come from? Where'd you going? I'm going to heaven. I came from my Creator. There's only one God, right? I don't possess the talent, the ability, the notoriety. This is the lack of fundamental acceptance, the knowledge to be capable of crucifying anybody in any way, shape, or form. It just doesn't work. And by the way, why would I want to? What are you invested in? Right? Your long-term longevity, your short-term fix. I mean, I gotta get out of here. What's wrong? Don't feel bad. It ain't you. I gotta go get my daily fix in today. I'm gonna go get a little bit of God, a little bit of Christ. I'm feeling the Holy Spirit coming upon me. I'm gonna go get some deliverance from them. I mean, I don't want you to be mad at me. I mean, I need my cup of coffee in the morning. I'm going to spend some time with Christ, my Savior, my Redeemer, the reason why I am forgiven, the great architect, if you would, the shepherd. I see him. He's got a staff. He's starting to guide. He's starting to lead. That's the holy baptism. Yeah. And it works, by the way. Forgive me. But isn't it relevant, though? You wanted this person dead. Like, you dragged him into this town. You literally seen him riding on the donkey. You knew they were getting ready to hang him up on the cross. And you want to know more than him to be chastised, to be dead. Off with your head if you would. And here he comes back around. And who is this? I've seen a ghost, Lord, forgive me. How is this possible? And he's telling me about the truth, the way, the life, on how I'm actually going to be redeemed and saved. And I can have everything in an abundance because it was provided for me from his Father. Jeez, I saw the sign and it opened up my eyes. I saw the sign. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. My goodness. Well, that's very good. Now I know that I need you. Well, it's okay. You don't have to feel burdened. I knew this was going to happen. How many scenarios do you brush off with that mindset? I knew this was going to happen. It's not that big of a deal. It's okay. Life goes on. I've still got Jesus Christ, by the way, and the Holy Spirit is enactment within me. In some cases, they reference being the Holy Ghost. How come, though? Because the Holy Spirit has died and it is born again. It has revived my soul, my spirit. I'm thriving. I'm capable of being redeemed. I've taken it to a whole nother level. That's extreme. It's very good, yeah. But it needs to be practical, doesn't it? Who gives you the denial or the acceptance in this world? Do you have an active audience? What do you invite into your life? Well, I prefer privacy, Lord, forgive me. I don't like ears and comms and having all these individuals squatting on me. Oh, I have my own charity. I have Life or Death Ministries. I'm looking at ending plagues. I wanted to get a laboratory. Remember a school, a church, a hospital? I talked about doing research, see if we can end immunodeficiencies, AIDS. Different plagues. I was going to work with CDC, some of the different viruses and colds that we have in this world. Very good. Well, it's very important to me. I've got my own. Oh, I've got my own. Lord, forgive me. I didn't need what you had. Do you think that Jesus shutters us out? Well, I got my own. No. He reminds us, though, if you want heaven, you want eternity, you come through me to get to my Father. He's the one. He's the one that'll set you free. And they say that the truth will set you free. That's the life and the promise of eternity. You want to talk about inheritances? You're not going to see a will attached to this one or a good deed in any way, shape, or form. I need to see it in writing, and I got to have witnesses, and it needs to be notarized. Otherwise, it's not effective. But it's the promise that's been laid on my heart, on the life that I live. It's possessive. I am promised the inheritance of heaven. Outright, very good. 1 Timothy 2:5. Listen, for there is one God. And there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Now we reference this being taken flesh, incarnation, resurrection. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Who is this person? How many times do we question it? Do we riddle it? We've been given the ability to think, and it can be destructive, by the way. The serpentine. Ooh, wee. Yeah, turpentine of the tongue. That's what they say. So deceptive, though, isn't it? How often did the thought, the theory, the reasoning lead us astray? You know, I'm not capable, I'm not able. I'd rather question it within a sense of doubt. Any venture crossing the road, any twist, any turn, every venue and season of life, the storm or the brightest of sunny days, right? The uppity up, if you would. When you encounter those, he's with you. I've chosen to keep Christ with me at this venture. No, I'm gonna continue to be forgiven. You know, I've got my Creator, Savior, the Redeemer. I got the Holy Spirit, the substance, the Holy Trinity, the enactment within me. I'm gonna keep them with me. I think that it's important at this particular venue at life. I don't want to be led astray. I don't want others to lead me astray. Oh, I got Jesus Christ. Haven't you heard of him? It's very, very important. And we all know Acts 4:11. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. Have you ever heard that, though? You seem so happy. But you look like things are going well. Your life is blessed. You've got children. You got prosperity. You are intellectually, emotionally, physically, spiritually blessed. You have prosperity. Where did it come from? Well, I stand. I walk outright. Where are you standing? I stand on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, for he is the reason. He's the giver, the taker. He's the reason that I'm forgiven. And it's through his Father, you know, that I'm receiving. My goodness, how do I get to that solid foundation? Is there room for me? Don't forget about me. Is there room for me? Yes, of course. But you need to find your own calling. Have you exercised the power of prayer? Every venue, when we face that fork in the road, things don't work out the way that we want them to in our hour of death, in our darkest hour. We find ourselves desperate, but desperate for who? It's the mind. It's the mind, the tree of knowledge, the deceptiveness of the fruit. I only want one bite. I don't think anybody's going to find out. It's like you just want to grab that fruit real quick. You want to run in the corner. You want to take a bite. You don't want anybody to see you. And you want to run just as fast as you can. Put it back in the bowl and then walk outside. Whew, it's over with. It tasted good. Nobody's seen me. Thank God. Whew, I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. But it's our own deceptiveness. It's the thought, the logic, the theory, and the reason that leads us astray. You know, I don't have it. How come? Because he hasn't given it to me. Well, I don't have what I'm looking for. Where are you going to go to get it? I hope you're looking to Christ. He is the provider. You're looking to your creator. He's the giver. He's the taker. I mean, an abundance of everything. Did you hear me? He said he was Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth, what should I do? He's offering us forgiveness, eternity. He said through his Father, this is the person we were trying to kill, remember? My goodness, what shall we do? Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Whew. I heard about it. I heard about eternity, about heaven. Somebody says the narrow path, the yellow brick road, the gates of heaven opening up, the path to heaven, the stairway, staring treasures. There's no pain, agony, sorrow, everlasting life seated at the right hand. Oh my goodness. No, I know. Yeah. And there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. This person's important, by the way, this Jesus of Nazareth. I think that we should keep him with us. When you stumble, when you fall, it's to be predicted, by the way. There is nobody in this world that's perfect. We all make mistakes. It's all right. You ain't got to hold on to it for the rest of your life. If somebody else decides to hold on to it for the rest of their life, that's their problem. You're capable of taking it where you need to take it. You can be saved. You can be redeemed. Have you ever tried holding on to him? You know, I mean, he holds on to us. Have you ever tried to hold on to him? You know, I mean, regardless of what happens at this point, I'm still going to have God. I'm still going to have Christ. I'm still going to have the Holy Spirit. You know, I mean, I'm not really worried about it. I just don't feel like I've got anything to worry about. My nearest and dearest friend, Lord, forgive me. I mean, we got love for one another. Very good. My nearest and dearest friend. You know what he told me? I don't think you have anything to worry about. That's the hardest message that you'll ever have to embrace. I don't think you have anything to worry about. Do you have to prove your existence to anybody? Do you have to walk within a policy and a code of conduct? Do you have a dress code? This is the way that I have to look, talk, and respond. And if so, how often is God denying you or approving you? You've heard my take on it, and I don't think along those lines. Did you hear God say, no, I am not pleased with my creation? And by the way, through him, remember there is no other name, through him, forgive me. Did you hear Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth say, yes, you are forgiven, you are redeemed? Well, you get a yes each and every day. There ain't no creature that can tell you no. There ain't no creature that can hold you back, that can define you or mortify you. I'm outright not driven, but I'm stumbling, I'm falling. Somebody put the e-brake on. Shh, I'm jackknife out on the highway. I'm being locked up. What happened? They cannot keep God from you. Oh, by the way, I received a paper in the mail the other day. I received it, and it was from the Clark County, Wisconsin's DA office. And I'm looking at it. And I'm sitting there looking at it. I was like, what is going on here? And it's referencing between somebody that's my own bloodline. And now that person doesn't want me to be in trouble. I don't want them to be in trouble. They don't want to be in trouble. I don't want to be in trouble. And do we have any offenses against one another? No, we don't. And all of a sudden here it's the state. And the state's taking action. They're God in this scenario. They're bored. It's the DA's office. They like copper. They like pennies, big ones. It's kind of rare up in this location. I mean, they play with ducks at night. They set them down on the floor. They got keywords and words and everybody gets to huff and puff and blow the house down. Ooh, wee. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, Jesus of Nazareth. Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. And I'm wondering what's getting ready to happen. Very well, I said. Very well. I thought to myself, how could you condemn? You're not God. You're not the giver and taker of life. And if these individuals aren't in need of what you're offering, how shall you be capable of it? I tried to contact MD Anderson. I was thinking more along the lines of ball and chemo, terminal illness. No, I said. My goodness, for some of us have taken a bite of that forbidden fruit and it has corrupted us, our hearts, souls, and minds, and we don't have anything to offer anybody else. So you know what I said when I seen that? I was bitter. I went to bed. I mean, my life was distraught. It was turned upside down. It's taken me days upon days. I mean, it's the latter days. I'm back to climbing. I'm anticipating a heavy fall. Lord, forgive me. Well, you know what? You can't take Christ from me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pack my suitcase. I don't own a whole lot, Lord, forgive me, but well, you know what I hold? I hold my heart, soul, and mind, and I hold the possessiveness of God and Christ and of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to pack a bag. I'm going to buy a one-way ticket, and I'm going to go start serving the Lord. You know, there's individuals in foreign countries and nations, and they stand decent odds on starting off on being homeless and going all the way to the top. I'll never be homeless, for I belong to the kingdom of God, for I am risen, I am saved, I am delivered, and I can go anywhere in the world without the resentment of creature or the battalion of their assault of lack of acceptance. They don't possess forgiveness. I get it. You don't believe in Christ. You are God. And that's what's important at this exact moment. You know what I'm saying? I tried to contact Washington, D.C. real quick. All right, we got no business. We got no money. Turn money off. There's no business. We got priorities in this world. Let's make sure that it happens immediately. Well, they make the same decisions on you. There's always somebody above somebody, they say. Off with the head. Remember, this is the person you wanted dead. So it cannot be and it shall not be what we want it to be. Colossians 2:9-4. In the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. What does this mean? We possess it within, though, right? It doesn't matter what happens on the outside. It's a piece of mail. It's something that's wrote down on paper. Why don't you spend some time today and look through the Ten Commandments and the 632 laws of the Bible and see if there's something that you could use against the local DA? Of course, it's election year, must be coming up. I heard individuals are getting thirsty and hungry. I'm not really sure. They turn coppers off. There's no more big ones. Boy, everybody's getting desperate. They have orifices. They work their organs. I'm not sure. You know, we think different. Forgive me. Oh, my goodness. I know. So why shall we hold on to the bitterness, regardless of what happens? Why shall we choose to make it a priority in our life? Out the door you go. What are you going to do? Stop the heart? Because that's at the point that where this is at. You would have to kill me. You'd have to be capable of stopping the heart. And by the way, the sacrifice that I find to be feasible, you've chosen to take action against me. Guess what? Lucky for you, I'm capable of returning the favor. I've chose to take action against you. I hope you're happy with these decisions. Very good. So the same sword, then I'm gonna double-edged sword. Now here you've been given this sword. You can put it right in the holder, put it right on the side. You're forgiven. You are redeemed. You don't have nothing to worry about. You don't throw it to the side, right out the door, smack down the bottom, hit left side now. Send them off bitter. Make them turn the other cheek. You know what I'm saying? Put a nail right in the foot. Plump. Mm-hmm. Very good. You don't have to hold on to it. Walk right away. Hallelujah. I mean, that sounds like your problem. But Jesus of Nazareth, you must not believe of Christ because you're not forgiven. How do I know that you're not forgiven? Because the way you respond to his people, his chosen race, the people for his own, you don't believe in forgiveness because you ain't actively practicing it. You are the one condemning. You are the one judging. And I get it. We talked about the possessiveness of substance. Is forgiveness something I own? Mm-mm-mm-mm. You were forgiven because of him. It doesn't mean that you have the right, the notoriety to forgive somebody else, nor to condemn them. You think about what I'm saying. You ain't got nothing to worry about because you believe in Christ. and you believe in the Savior, and you believe in the Redeemer. Well, I hope that this talk and this discussion gets followed up. Remember, I'm open for discussion, Q&As. We can host webinars. We can do a adult Bible study. We can talk about some of the issues and some of the ways that you're affected or affiliated with Christ, your Savior and Redeemer, and how it's making an impact on your personal life, professional life, intimate, emotional, social, in a sense of jurisdiction, eternity. I live in a lawless world, by the way. Let us be reminded of that. Thank you for continuing to support Life or Death Ministries. Be reminded to expect growth. Look at for some of the updates. You can follow me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Look at the Buzzsprout page and see some of the different talks, the new talks that are being released. Usually daily, I apologize for the mishap for a few days off. A little bit of a sickness down and out. I got hit very, very hard. I mentioned getting something in the mail, and I'm still trying to find God in Christ. Have you heard of Jesus of Nazareth? He's with me now. Come into my heart, soul, and mind. Save me and redeem me. Let's close in prayer and let's open our day and welcome our arms, our hearts, souls, and minds to Him, to our Savior, to our Redeemer, the one who is the builder, the great architect, and guides us and heals our hearts, souls, and minds. Our graciously heavenly and Father, Savior and Redeemer, we ask that you come into our hearts, souls, and minds. Save us, redeem us. Let us not be bitter or bitten. Let us not take the sin, the inequity, the death of other individuals. Let us be reminded of the incarnation, the resurrection through your blood salvation. Yes, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Remind us that we are not alone, and for us to possess this ability, this talent, the forgiveness that you're attempting to give us, we shall hold you near and dear to our hearts, souls, and minds, that regardless of what venue, what season, what storm, what location, and what demographic that we shall be placed in, or that we may enter, that you are with us in each and every way. Remind us to wash and cleanse of our feet, of our heart, of our soul, to give it back to you, for without you, we don't have what it would take, and we're not going to be capable without you. Remind us of your Father, of thy Father's work, and continue to spread the good news to go. And what shall I do, Lord? Help me. And let the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, be an enactment with me each and every day as my heart beats and the breath enters my lungs because of you. I am saved and I am redeemed. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Christ our Savior's name, we pray. Amen. Have a very, very good day. Thank you for listening. God bless you.